and welcome back to Lounging with Books. Today we're joined by Elena Bashkovich from the Human Library, which Claire found out about recently, and we were very, very interested about this. So Elena, introduce yourself. What is the Human Library?
So the Human Library is not my idea, sadly. I would love to be able to claim it, but it's an idea I heard about. I can't even remember where or when exactly, but it's based on this analogy of a library where people are books and reading is a conversation. From the start, when I heard about it, I just thought that it sounded brilliant, but it's based around titles that carry some sort of stigma in society. So that's the first thing I usually have to clarify to people when I explain to them how it works. It's not just anything that is true about you. It's not the fact that you're a keen gardener, or I don't know, you love swimming or something like that, or you're good at knitting. Some aspect of identity that carries stigma or prejudice. So things that people have been discriminated against because, for example, they are from a minority background, or because of their lifestyle choices, because possibly because of their health quite often, or mental health, or sexuality, or religion, all sorts of things. And then people who come to the Human Library as visitors can choose from list of titles, and each of the titles will be a person who basically volunteered to speak about their experience. And that's another thing that's quite interesting for me, and that what drew me to the idea is the fact that none of the two books with the same title are going to be the same.
Because
and quite often people will have several different titles, which you may find about in the course of the conversation. So you might borrow a vegan and find out that they're also an immigrant or something else.
How do the events run in the library? So talk us through an event.
Okay, so, well, it varies. So the first time I had this idea, it was a bit crazy because I had a month to organize everything. I set the date and I said, okay, this is going to run on such and such date in 2017. So I had to find a space. And luckily at this time we had a teaching room in the library, which I thought would be appropriate. It was large enough, it was quiet enough, it was central enough for us. So you basically need a room where you can set space chairs so that people can cluster with the chosen book and have a conversation and not feel too close to other people to be overheard. But equally, you as an organizer want to have an overview of everyone to be able to make sure that everything runs smoothly, that the books feel secure and the readers have a good experience. So basically you need a space, you need your books, and you need your readers, which means you have to advertise your event somehow.
You know, you were saying you have to advertise your event. Do you just have to say what kind of books will be available? And then is there a sign-up sheet? Because surely only so many readers could be with one book at a time. And do they rotate?
So, yes, that's a good question. So, actually, another thing, as an organizer, you will need is helpers. It would be very difficult. It would probably be nearly impossible to run it as a one person show, because you will have people coming in wondering what it's all about. So somebody needs to explain to them how it works. Somebody needs to time the conversations. Readers get assigned a time slot. So it's usually between 20 and 30 minutes. It gives a bit of structure to the conversation. So the reader knows that there's an exit. The book knows there's an exit. Most people, because I have asked, I've been getting feedback since the first event from books and readers and my volunteers who helped to run it as well. And most people were saying that the 30 minutes was just the right time. So they had enough time to go into the topic and discuss it, but equally they felt like they covered most of their questions in this time. I would say that the most time-consuming aspect was finding the books, especially if you have a particular book in mind. like I had some topics I wanted to cover, and I didn't have access to people from this group in my immediate circle of friends and acquaintances. Sometimes it takes time to reach out or try to use, you know, friends of friends to get in touch with someone that you think might make an interesting book. So this takes time.
Yeah, I can imagine it's hard to find someone that wants to share that much of themselves, because surely the reader can just ask any question.
Well, that's the basic premise. The basic premise is that you can ask any questions, but interestingly, it goes both ways. So the books can ask questions of readers as well.
So,
you know, it's not supposed to be an interview or a lecture. It is supposed to genuinely be a conversation. So a book can be curious, you know, why did you choose me? Why are you interested in my title? What did you think I would look like, you know, based on my title? Are you surprised that, you know, you borrowed a priest and I'm a woman? Or, I don't know, you borrowed a Muslim, I don't have a beard, whatever prejudices or stereotypes somebody might have had in mind. If they borrow a book that is not, you know, cookie cutter image of this stereotype, the book might have questions too.
That's really interesting. So have you had quite a lot of response, and which books are the most popular?
So it varied from event to event. I'd say books with titles that refer to religion are usually quite interesting, and books with titles that refer to sexuality/gender are typically quite popular. But equally, vegan is a title that's usually draws some attention. Hand Saboteur, to be honest, all of the titles, I don't see any pattern. I think they were all popular at different events. So like I said, it started in the library, and we had 8 books and very good, you know, very good response. And people were saying, I gathered feedback from visitors and books, and most people were saying, oh, it was great. I really enjoyed it. Are you going to run it again? Which I haven't, you know, when initially I made the decision to run it, I didn't think of it as a cyclical event. I was just going to be a one-off, but because, you know, there was clearly a demand and the need for it, I planned the following events, and I ran 3 more editions at the university, and then got some other universities contacting me, asking about, you know, how it's done. And then they run their events there, which was really good to see the idea spreading and see that more human libraries are run. And then somebody from the public library contacted me. So this was a very interesting experience to have an event that ran for 2 days. And one day was at the university, and the second day was at the public library, because in a way it was something that I thought from the start would be ideal, an ideal location for an event like that. Because as much as I think there is a need for it in the university setting, it is a bubble, and it's nice to take those books out to a public library where there's hopefully going to be more accidental readers. So people who didn't intend to come, they are not perhaps starting from the open-minded perspective of, you know, seeing the leaflet that advertises human library, thinking that it sounds great, that yes, they want to learn about all those different people who have, you know, different ideas about life or different life experience, you know. But maybe people who are more rigid in their ways of thinking, and they just happen to come across it, and perhaps, you know, their horizons are broadened just purely by chance, because they happen to find themselves in the library on a Saturday morning. So this was really, really good to run it in a public library.
I know I'd like to go to one of these events. I hope there's one locally that we can go to sort of get a bit of an idea of it. Yeah, because we'd quite like to do something in our school library. I'm not sure how it would work with the students, because obviously it's a little bit more sensitive. So it may be more that we would go down the, you know, somebody is into sailing or something like that, and you can ask them anything about that. I don't know, but do you know of any school libraries that do it, Alina?
So I have to say, the original human library inventor, creator, is from Denmark, and I know, and that the human library is very established in Denmark, and I know they run some events in schools. Well, they've been cooperating with educational establishments for quite a while. I know they have presence every year in a policing academy, I think in some sort of social workers in the university courses. I think they have a human library for them, which I think sounds like a great idea. But yeah, I know they've been working with, well, schools, so basically people who are not, how do you say it, you know, over under 18s, minors. So they've been working with minors. I think you can still do it in the school. And I think, in a way, if you change the focus of the titles to quote-unquote safe titles, so, you know, hobbies or interesting experiences, in a way, it wouldn't be a human library. Because I think the core idea is to unjudge people and break the prejudice and work on the prejudices that are present in society. So if you move yourself away from those difficult topics, then it's something else that's still valuable, still interesting, but possibly not a human library anymore.
So this brings us on to, what are you currently reading at the moment?
Okay, I always have a pile of books. So I'm reading a selection of stories by Tove Jansson, you know, the Moomin author.
Oh, yeah.
It's probably, she's best known as obviously the author of the Moomin stories, but she wrote adult fiction, you know, stories for adults. And this one's called Summer, and it's just lovely, lovely stories set in, I guess, in Finland, you know, just very atmospheric. They're lovely short stories. They're almost like poetry, you know. It's all about the atmosphere. It's all about the emotions and how things feel and how you perceive the world. It's very, very beautiful, just beautiful prose. So this is one of the books. And the other one is quite different. It's called The Volunteer. So I'm from Poland. This is a book called The Volunteer. It's a true story of the resistance hero who infiltrated Auschwitz. So this was a Polish military guy who in 1940... basically smuggled himself into Auschwitz concentration camp to report back and to try and, you know, do something about it. So it's an amazing story. You know, I'm not well known in the West, I guess, just halfway through it, and it blew my mind.
And who's the author of that book?
The author is called Jack Fairweather. Very well written as well, and reads very well. It's not heavy history, you know, with lots of footnotes and references, and it reads very well. It's just a very gripping story. So, you know, two different stories, very different, but all great.
Thank you very much, Elena, for that amazing podcast. Please check out the bio underneath. There is a blog post which you will love. If you want to know more about the Human Library, check out their Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube page, also linked in the bio. It is goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from me.
Thank you both.